Thank you for downloading the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast. For more podcasts as well as breaking news, visit prweek.com.
I'm here with Joe Hathaway, who is the Executive Communications Manager at Bayer. Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
So tell us a little bit about what you just talked about on a panel.
Sure. So I just had the chance here at the PR Week Swipe Right event to...
I appreciate the plug there.
Yeah, of course. This is letting everyone know where we are. We had the great opportunity to talk about millennials as what we're calling corpsumers. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the idea that based on research, really, that millennials strongly associate a company's reputation with their purchasing choices, and talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. And what is that? When did you first become aware that something like a corpsumer existed? Like, when did your research point you in this direction?
Yeah, it's funny. After I saw the research, I kind of thought, you know something? I've always kind of felt this way. I've always kind of seen the evidence, whether it's just internally my own choices or on my social media feeds and seeing what my friends and what different folks are doing online, and you kind of see a trend that way. But to mm-hmm. see the data that really backs this up was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. How has that changed what Bayer's done as a company? How does it change what you do in your job personally?
Yeah, I think Bayer's a company that has so many different products, mm-hmm. so many different industries that we play in. I think understanding how this generation, this millennial generation, engages with our company mm-hmm. is paramount. Personally, where I sit in our corporate communications group, you know, we have the pleasure of working across all of these industries, mm-hmm. some that face consumers directly, mm-hmm. some that millennials will engage with every day, mm-hmm. and some that they don't, some that they maybe will only see at the end, you know, the food on their plate or the medicine they might receive. Mm-hmm. So we try to, you know, take different tactics. I think the biggest thing for all of our brands and all of our products is the idea that millennials care about the bigger picture. They care about what we do off the field.
Okay.
And if we can deliver that message and show them the positive things we're doing, that just helps build our brand from the ground up.
And what are some examples of that? How have you reached out to them?
So we've done a number of things, especially on the consumer side, most visibly, to engage really the millennial generation, our social followers, on a lot of things outside of just our products. Mm-hmm. So we're
Joe just got congratulated for his presentation.
Thanks for that.
A little slice of life in the podcast.
That's right.
Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so, you know, we've done things like talk about, you know, it's not talking about our products, it's, mm-hmm. it's talking about health, it's talking about lifestyle, mm-hmm. it's talking about things you do every day. And maybe how our product can help with that, but okay. it's about that bigger picture. And I think from, you know, other parts of our business, like the agriculture side, mm-hmm. it's talking about where your food comes from. It's talking about the local farmers that are helping to create that food that's feeding America. Those are the things that people care about.
Now, because of the products or some of the products that you guys make, you know, medicine, are you restricted in any sort of way in how you reach out on social media or things like that?
Yeah, that's a huge part of our business, is understanding kind of the regulatory and legal environment that we function in. You know, the good news is I think that it's all about partnership. And at Bayer, we have great partners in our legal and medical and regulatory teams mm-hmm. to make sure that we're certainly staying compliant and obviously, you know, not making any claims that are outrageous or going to put anyone in jeopardy. But at the same time, that engagement's important, and being able to talk to our consumers directly is important. And they know that. We just got to make sure we do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use influencers in your outreach?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Especially where we sit in corporate communications, it's very important for us to build relationships with influencers right. in across the industries, and you know, again, allow them to help drive that story as well.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Anything else you want to add, Joe?
Nah, you know, happy to be here. I think this event focusing on millennials, the Swipe Right, it's great. Just as a personal anecdote, I think, you know, about 4 years ago, I swiped right, and that led me to meet my wife today.
Kidding.
So I think I am definitely as millennial as it gets when it comes to that.
So we picked a good name for the conference.
That's right.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Frank.
Appreciate your time. Hi, it's Frank Washcook again, and this time I'm here with Savannah Huddleston from Home Depot. How are you?
I'm great. How are
did I pronounce your name right?
You did. You got it. There's a lot of syllables in there. So.
Good deal. I'm glad I got it right. I'm sensitive to that sort of thing, as you might imagine. So tell us a little bit. Give us the elevator pitch of what you just discussed at the PR Week conference.
So I was talking a little bit about how we're using our corporate website and digital newsroom built from scratch as a tool, a visual storytelling tool, to sort of shine a light on the character of the company, how we're telling human-centric stories, and how, you know, we're telling stories that kind of make you think of the company a little bit differently instead of just, a big box retailer.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of topics do you talk about on there?
A wide range of topics.
Okay.
We talk about our people and, you know, the opportunity that we create there. We talk about the work we do in our community. We talk about our sustainability efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of the last bucket is we talk about our products, but in a very different way than, say, a marketing channel that's just trying to get you to buy the product at the right price. It's more kind of a behind-the-scenes story of how those products are curated and how they're selected and how brands have sort of grown up with the company.
Now, when you say your community, do you mean Atlanta or do you mean all of the individual stores? Or?
I mean all, actually.
Okay.
So we do talk a lot about how we give back in our hometown and initiatives that we have in Atlanta, but on a broader view, we do a lot with veterans all across the country, and we do a lot with disaster relief, which has actually been a very big focus in the last few months, as you can imagine, with all the hurricanes and the earthquake in Mexico. We've been pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's come back to that in 1 second. What sort of content that you put on the blog gets the most interaction with the readers or viewers, or however you refer to them, customers?
I think whenever we're able to tell a story that really focuses on a human, whether that's one of our associates, you know, it's a garden associate who's worked in gardening for 20 years and, you know, kind of an ask the expert type story, or if it's a community story that tells the story of one particular veteran who, you know, has come back to a home that no longer suits his needs because now he's in a wheelchair. So really when we're able to tell kind of that one-on-one individual story, I think that's when we see the most success.
So that's interesting in that the feature story kind of gets the most engagement.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I will say we also have wild cards here or there that kind of pop up. We did a story about a tap dancing troupe here in New York that we're using.
A tap dancing troupe.
Yeah, using some of our Homer buckets, those bright orange buckets in the routine.
I was wondering about the connection for a second.
Yeah, using them in the routine as kind of percussion instruments. So that was just kind of a fun one, but it did really well because it's just fun and creative.
So you mentioned helping with veterans' causes.
Yep.
You mentioned, sort of pitching in to clean up after the hurricanes, after the earthquake in Mexico. What sort of work are you doing after those disasters?
Yeah. So we kind of play a role throughout the disaster process. So our first step is obviously getting our stores open and running. We have a saying that we are the last to close, first to open when something like this happens. So we want to get product in. We want to get our stores staffed. We'll send in associates from across the country to make sure our stores are up and running so that those associates in those communities can take care of their families during that time. So we play a role right in the beginning, but we also play a role in the immediate aftermath of our volunteers will be on the ground mucking out houses and starting to the rebuild process. And then we're in it for the long haul, for helping those communities rebuild in the months and years after a disaster strikes.
Is there a transparency issue there in that do you have to talk about, look, you're giving us your money, here's how we're spending it in a situation like that? Do you explain that there? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do. I think that Built from Scratch has been a good tool, again, to kind of show all sides of it.
Okay.
We want to make sure that our stores are open so you're getting the supplies you need, but we're also here for you volunteering our time, of our associates, you know, volunteering money, helping nonprofits in the area that are helping to rebuild, so we're able to kind of tell that complete story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Since you've been working on it, what's been your favorite story that you've done as part of the blog?
Oh my gosh, that's hard to pick. Honestly, the stuff that we've been doing the past several weeks, just with one disaster after another, has been so hard for our stores, for our teams. But there was one story that just came into us from just a hotel emailed us about an associate in the Houston area who came to a hotel where a lot of displaced families were just kind of stranded there. And this associate took it upon herself to throw an impromptu kids workshop in the lobby, which a kids workshop is something we do in our stores where kids can come in and learn a craft or whatever. But this associate brought all those tools to the hotel and just made a really bad situation into something fun for all of those families. So it was a really grassroots story, but I loved being able to talk about it because I love being able to talk about the big things we're doing, the financial commitment, all that, but then really the story of one associate who just took it upon herself to do the right thing.
All right, good stuff.
Yeah.
Samantha, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Hope you had a good time presenting and here at the PRE conference this
year. It's been a great conference. Thank you so much.
All right.